Chapter number 3. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3.
Nađeno je da se čita iz prve poslanice apostola Pavla Korinćanima, 3. glava. 1 Korinćanima, 3. glava.
Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we as others? Excuse me, I turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Let me turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, lest neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men. For all things are yours, whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. That were shared in the prayer, for truly they reflect the message that will be shared this morning of Jesus Christ and who he is and how he is the one, the object of our praise, and he is the one who is why we are here this morning. Certainly not to hear a man speak, but to hear the words of Jesus Christ, to hear his doctrine, his message proclaimed, and that we would give him the honor and the glory in everything that we do, as we assemble here, our thoughts, the words that we share with each other, all that we do, that it would all reflect that we love Jesus Christ and we are very thankful for him and for what he has done for each and every one of our lives. We read a message here this morning that the Apostle Paul had written to those in Corinth, and how he spoke to them of how ye ought not to be carnal, but how ye ought to be spiritual, and how you ought to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. He says that there is no other foundation that can be laid other than the foundation of Jesus Christ. And so for that, we are very thankful. Because it is Jesus Christ who was before Abraham, who was there when God and Jesus had spoken the worlds into place, as there was this time when the prophets were speaking that Jesus is coming, there is a Messiah coming who will, with his blood, wash away your sins. The blood of bulls and goats was not able to wash away sins. It never was. And now, but there was one coming, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God with us, was coming. And then there was a time where he did come, and he was born of a virgin, and he did lead a sinless life. And he did proclaim that message that God had spoken to him to speak. He did these things. And then he became that ultimate and supreme sacrifice for all mankind. Throughout all generations, that when he died upon the cross and shed his blood, that blood is the remission or the forgiveness of our sins throughout all eternity. And he died there upon the cross. But then the tomb was empty. Then he rose. He resurrected. That power was given unto him that he would resurrect and that he would ascend back to his Father and that he would now intercede for us and that he would send his Holy Spirit to be with us, to guide us into all truth. And so for this foundation that is laid, this foundation of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, we give him the praise and we give him the honor. And that is the reason we are here today. Jesus had spoken of this Sermon on the Mount, and he had given beautiful precepts and principles for all mankind to follow, that if we do those things which Jesus Christ has spoken of, that we would then be building upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, a spiritual house that is built of gold, silver, and precious stones. And so Jesus, as he concludes that Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Lord, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to what he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation upon a rock, and that rock being Jesus Christ. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." This is the message that the Apostle Paul was given to those in Corinth. Build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Build upon that solid rock. Build it strong. Build it sturdy. Build it robust. That when the streams beat vehemently upon that house, it will stand. And likewise, in the letter that the Apostle Paul had written, he's saying, "Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." There will be tribulations in this life. We will not escape them. There will be great difficulties in this life. We will not escape them. They will be a part of our lives. They're going to be unique to each and every one of us, but we will have difficulty. We will have troubles in this life. That's for certain. Let's not deceive ourselves any other way. We will have those difficulties and those troubles. And so Jesus Christ is saying that. The streams are going to beat vehemently against your house. Is it built upon the rock of Jesus Christ? Is it built with gold, silver, precious stones? And then he says, "But he that heareth and doeth not," if we do not do the teachings of Jesus Christ, "he is like a man that without a foundation," no foundation, "built an house upon the earth," upon dirt, "against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." The children sing that the song of this. And it says that the foolish man built his house upon the sand. And it says when the song goes that when the streams beat against it, that the house went splat. And the children love to even sing that part, that the house went splat. And that's what happens to a life that is not built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. As we know, there was some difficulty in the Corinthian church. They had some doctrine that wasn't correct. There was some carnality among them. And the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this letter to them, is addressing some of that. And he's saying, I couldn't even speak to you as spiritual when I was among you, but as unto babes in Christ. You're being carnal. You're being carnal. He's saying, if there's envyings and strife and divisions among you, you're carnal men. That's the definition of that. There's no other way to say it. Carnality is equal to envying, strife, and divisions. If you're saying I'm of Paul and another saying I'm of Apollos, that's just simply being carnal. And so at the end of the chapter, he's saying, let no man therefore glory in men. God has given unto us so much. He's given unto us of Jesus Christ. God gave his only begotten Son. He's given unto us so much. We rejoice in what God has given unto us. We rejoice in the things that he has done for us. Ye are Christ, and Christ is God. All things are yours. God is, the Bible says that he wants us to fully trust in him because God has given unto us richly all things to enjoy. All things are ours. We rejoice in the things that God has done for us. No man can take away that which God has given unto us. We rejoice in what God has done. So when these tribulations and these trials come our way in life, no man can take away our joy or our peace that we have in him. And so this is where the Apostle Paul here is calling us to, and calling those here in the Corinthian church. He's saying, who's Paul? Who's Apollos? But servants, ministers, by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He's saying, I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. It's not him who planted that's anything. It's not him who waters that's anything. It's God who gives the increase. That's the object of the focus. It's God who gives the increase. We look to him who gives us freely all things to enjoy. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And so he's saying here that there's a unity among them. And as we are God's husbandry and as we are God's building, that we are just all one. We're each doing our part. We're each fulfilling the niche that God had placed for us to fulfill, that we would use the talents that God has uniquely given unto each and every one of us to his honor and glory. That if anything is done good by us, it's simply glory to God. He's the one who gave us everything, everything. Life, talent, breath, strength, an environment where we can prosper. He's given unto us everything. The glory goes to him, and it's to him who gives the increase that we give the praise to. So he says, according as to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. I'm just reminded now that Jesus has told the apostles, you are entered into their labors. You didn't lay the groundwork. You didn't do the upfront work. You're now entering into another man's labor. And so there's that continuum that we each build upon that which had already been established that God had done through others. And so he's saying the same thing here, that we would build upon that which is already laid, but that we should take heed how we build up thereupon. And then he says again here, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He who has done all things, he is that is from everlasting to everlasting, he that is so worthy of our praise. That's upon that found, we build upon that foundation. And so he says here that there's different materials that we can build upon this foundation, build our spiritual house. And so we think of gold, silver, precious stones, elements that are very hard, very dense, have great properties to them. And then there's wood, hay, and stubble, which are very combustible. They have low temperatures of ignition. They're not very valuable. In Ezekiel, I'm just reminded now again that in Ezekiel there's a chapter where God is warning the people, you're building out of vines. Vines have no strength. Vines are flimsy. And you're trying to build out of vines. They're not going to last. And so it is here that wood, hay, and stubble will not last. If there's strife, if there's envying, if there's divisions, that's building out of wood, hay, and stubble. But God calls us to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. He gives us those resources. He gives us the means by which we can build with these durable substance of material. So in our lives, as we think of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has done for each and every one of us, we look to him and we build. We build by having a faith in him that's strong, that we know that there's no other means by which we can be saved. We're building upon him who said that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. We can only get to the Father through Jesus Christ. And we build our spiritual house upon that. And so he's calling us that we would have a life of prayer. A life that we would dedicate to establishing and building a relationship with the Lord. That as we would come to him in sincerity, just simply praying to the Lord, praying for strength, praying for guidance, that we would be wise in this world, that he would give us grace and strength to do the things that he would call us to do, that our prayer life would be strong. Then he calls us also that we would have fellowship one with another, that we would be as one who would learn from each other, because God is working in each and every one of our lives uniquely. And there are things that God's doing in your life that would perhaps benefit me. And then likewise with all of each other, that we would have fellowship one with another, that iron would sharpen iron. You know, if we only pray when we have a convenient time, Satan will see to it that we won't pray, that we will not have that convenient time. And so it's of necessity that we would establish good routine of prayers in our lives. Well, at moments when we're fresh. Even sometimes, you know, we kneel and pray, and let's be honest, sometimes we're simply not focused. We're not fully there as we're praying. We're thinking about other things, but we're praying a little bit, and then we get distracted, perhaps, in our thoughts. Let's lay that out before the Lord. Tell the Lord, I'm not being focused right now in my prayer. Help me, Lord, to be focused as I'm praying to thee. And so that we would pray one for another, that we would all be strong, and that we would be reading in his word. This is building with gold, silver, and precious stones. That we would be reading what the truth is. That we would know what the truth is. And again, that we would come approaching God's word in our private time. However that might be. Some like to read the Bible, the book itself. Some like to read on a device. Some like the audible version. However it might be, that we would again have a time set aside where we would do that. That we would absorb the truth. That we would know the truth. And then let that truth go through our mind continuously. Let it be reminded throughout our day that we'd be remembering God's word. This is building with gold, silver, and precious stones. And that when these trials come, these difficulties come, we're reflecting on God's word, that his power is there, that he is always there, that he is keeping us in the palm of his hands. We're reminding on these scriptures. We're being reminded of these scriptures. And then there's times when we simply have to repent, too. This is building a solid house. And we're growing. We're learning continuously. We're growing. And then when we repent of those wrongs that we have done, we're creating a structure of spiritual house that's void of cracks. And he's calling us to his wisdom. This wisdom is again found in his word, and as we read it, we will be blessed by it. And again, we will have a structure that will stand against the streams that beat vehemently against it. It's God's wisdom that we look to. Man's wisdom, as the Apostle Paul was writing here in this chapter about the folly of man's wisdom, James writes in his epistle that the wisdom that is from above is pure. This is the wisdom that we're looking for that's going to help us to build that structure, that spiritual house that's of these good materials. This wisdom is pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is the wisdom of God. And so we see here in this verse that it's in direct conflict with the carnality that they were experiencing there, where there was envying, strife, and divisions. And for strife, he's saying, be peaceable, be gentle. And where there's divisions among them, he's saying, do all things without partiality and without hypocrisy. This is the wisdom of God. So as we turn to God's wisdom, he will show us. He will show us his way. This is how we build a spiritual house that will withstand. These are enduring principles of God's word. Obviously, another beautiful principle is that one of faith. Faith in Jesus Christ, that these streams are coming. And sometimes, you know, we hear a weather forecast and we hear, well, the rains are going to be heavy, the winds are going to be strong, there's possibilities of tornadoes, and it can strike fear in our hearts sometimes. And yet, in life, that happens, actually. And when we look round about us, and if we're constantly following the news, that could strike fear in our hearts. But we look to the Word of God. We look to Him who can do all things. We look to Him who is keeping us. We look to the wisdom of God. In the previous chapter, the Apostle Paul writes that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. This is where our faith belongs. Our faith belongs in the power of God. Everything's in His control. Again, remember, He simply spoke the worlds into place and they all existed. God can do everything. There's nothing that God cannot do. God can do everything. And so we want to place our faith in that power of Him who can do all things, and that is God and God alone. And so that's what He's calling us to. He's calling us to a life of hope, that our hope would be in Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. We hope in something that's beyond this life. We're saved by this hope. But if we see something, that means it's only temporal. That's not hope. And so the Apostle Paul writes, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They're temporal. But the things which are not seen, those are eternal. Those are eternal. And so that's what we have hope in. Again, this is building with gold, silver, and precious stones upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Faith, hope, and obviously charity as well. Charity, a charity of a love that we have toward each other because God died for me. God sent His Son Jesus to die for me. God sent Jesus, His Son, to die for you. And we have this common love one toward another, a love that's greater than those at the country club have for each other. It's a blessed and enduring love that we have one for another. But Jesus, on that Sermon on the Mount, He told us not only that we would love each other, because He's saying sinners do the same thing. If one loves another, that love is reciprocated. And sinners do that. But he's saying to bring that up to the next level. And he's saying, love your enemies. Do good and lend for and hoping for nothing again. He's saying, love your enemies. How is it that we can love our enemies? He's saying, do good to them. This is how we show love toward our enemies. Do good to them. Bless them and pray for them. This is how we show our love toward our enemy. Doing good to them, blessing them, and praying for them. It is so liberating to have this disposition toward an enemy. It's so liberating. There's no division. There's no strife. There's no envying. We're free. We're free. God loves us. God loves this individual that would perhaps be our enemy. Perhaps is doing things that are very difficult toward us. He's saying, love them, do good to them, bless them, pray for them. This is building with gold, silver, and precious stones upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. So we need to suffer with Jesus. Jesus says that if I suffered, they're going to do the same to you. And the servant is not above his master. What they have done to Jesus, they will do to us. And if we experience that in our lives, whether that's in by legislation or physically or however that might be, that we would suffer with the Lord and even gladly suffer with him, because the Bible says that if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. The Bible teaches us, Jesus here in the Sermon on the Mount, that we ought to give. Give generously. Everything we have is God's. It all belongs to him. He graciously gave to us everything we have. He gave unto us his Son, his precious Son, the greatest gift that we could have, his only begotten Son. He gave that to us. He gave him to us. That was his gift to us. Ought we not to share that gift likewise? The gifts that God has given unto us? Jesus gave, and he's teaching us to give too. And so he's saying, give. Give to every man that asketh of thee. He also says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosoms. For with the same measure that ye meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. If we are stingily giving, it will be stingily given back to us. God has dealt bountifully with us. He's saying, give bountifully. This is building a spiritual house that would be well-pleasing to the Lord and would stand. He also speaks here in the Sermon on the Mount about being merciful. He speaks here about forgiving. These are attributes of our lives that ought to just simply flow. Because, again, God has forgiven us so much more than we would ever have to forgive anybody else. God has been more merciful to us than we could possibly be merciful to others. And so we simply take these precepts that Jesus has given unto us, these principles, and we do them. Jesus here is saying, whosoever cometh to me and hears me and do those things which I say, he is like a man that built his house upon a rock. And the floods came and the winds beat vehemently against that house. And they could not shake it. It could not be shaken because it was founded upon a rock. This is what Jesus Christ is calling us to build on his foundation, with that which endures. These are the things which endures. You know, we heard Wednesday night about the Pharisees, and they, you know, they thought that, you know, it was very important that you wash your hands and your pots and the tables and do all these things before you eat. Those aren't the things which endure. Those aren't the things which endure. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's having love in our hearts toward all. It's about praying to him and building that relationship with him and reading his word, being grounded in the wisdom of God, that's pure, peaceable, easy to be entreated. This is what Jesus Christ is calling us to. I've come to learn something this week, that in every one of the epistles that the Apostle Paul has written, he greets them with grace and peace to them from the Lord, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of his epistles, even the second epistle of Corinthians, the second epistle of Thessalonians and 2 Timothy, even the second one, he comes to them and he greets them with this grace and peace be to them from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When this is the prayer that we should have one for another also, that as the Apostle Paul had for each of these churches or cities and individuals, that grace and peace would be to them, our prayer for one another needs to be also that grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ would be to each and every one. So that as we're praying and having thoughts in our minds of one another, that thoughts of grace and peace would be to each other. See, when you build your house, spiritual house, strong, sturdy, robust, with these principles of Jesus Christ, of faith in him, love toward all, being grounded in the Word of God and in his wisdom, when I see that in you, it makes me to be encouraged and to be strong as well. And so we build then collectively a church. Church is not the building. Church is us. And when we're all uniquely reading God's Word, being focused upon the truth that is written in God's Word, when we're praying for one another to be strong in the Lord, that then we're not only individually building a strong, robust, sturdy house, a spiritual house, but collectively we're building a spiritual habitation. A spiritual habitation where God can dwell. And he freely then gives us all things. All things are ours. We're Christ's. Christ is God's. He's freely given us all things. We're to rejoice in him and pray for that grace and peace to each and every one. Amen.